verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Now, I told you that word, trodden down, it translates, they didn't value it, so therefore they couldn't even hear it, or it meant nothing to them. It says, trodden down, or no value to it, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6 says, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it what? Lacked moisture. Now, we done been over this and over this, but just to recap just a little bit, just like Sandy had the God open the door for her to use and demonstrate the word that she's been hearing, and she heard that guy planting, if that guy had never heard it before, and then here God sends her along to water that word. Why? So he can give the increase. But it says here, that ground lacked moisture. And then it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. Now look over to verse 11. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we've done been over that. It's eternal. It's incorruptible. Nothing wrong with the word of God, right? So there's nothing wrong with the seed that's being planted or that you're hearing. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. 13, then they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Right here in this ground, they was able to hear the word, and I know faith began how? Y'all remember? They got gladness or joy. That is the first indicator or the main indicator of faith. But this ground here, it's kind of like when you think about just a natural seed. When you put it in the ground, after a little bit of time, what's it do? It don't have roots. It sprouts. Y'all ever, I'm not going to say that, but anyway, I'll say a different kind of seed because we did some other kinds of seeds. But anyway, y'all ever took like a wet a paper towel to where it's good and damp, you know, not water running out of it, but it's getting damp, and you put some seeds in there, and then you put another paper towel. John D, don't be looking at me like that. And you put some more wet paper towels over it. Why? Because you're trying to start the process quickly. Or like say somebody's going to cook some pinto beans or some kind of beans, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll wash them real good, and then they'll put them in a bowl covered with water. Why? You're starting a process. That's the same thing that's happened here. Faith is here. I know it's here because it has gladness. But it says here, they have no root. But faith is there. So what's happened? That seed has come into that ground and now it has sprouted. Faith has begun, right? So it says, and these have no root. How many knows root takes time? The Bible talks about how that you plant a grain of corn, you know, and first that comes the blade and then the stalk and then the full inner. That's the process of the kingdom, which is the same process here in the earth. That's exactly how it happens. But he says they have no root. So in other words, they ain't had that word in there long enough. They sprouted faith, but it's not been in there long enough to make any kind of roots. And the Bible says in John 15, we're the branches, right? Jesus or the Father is what? The vine, we would say the root of the tree. He goes on and he says, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, we said that word is testing, it falls away. Now let's go over to Hebrews 11. Probably every one of us in here could quote this, but we're going to look at it. Proverbs says we keep it before our eyes, right? In the midst of our heart and then going in our eyes. So Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I told you that word hoped, when you look it up, it doesn't mean like a lot of people say today, well, I sure hope he does, or I hope this happens. That's kind of like saying, I wish it would. That's not what this word hope means. This word hope, when you look it up and it's translated and all that, it comes to a confident expectation. Now, on TV years ago, they wouldn't let you say the word pregnant. That was almost like cussing. So what they would say, this is like Lucille Ball, you know, back in those eras or whatever. Whenever she became pregnant, they called it expecting. Why would they call that expecting? You don't expect to be pregnant for 10 months, do you? I hope not. Good Lord, 9 was more than enough for me. But there, and you know something's going on, and if the natural process takes place, you're expecting at some time or another, within 9 months, there's going to be a baby in your hands. This is the process. This is this confident expectation. Listen in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, or we could say confidently expect, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. They're real to you. You can't see it in the natural, but it is real inside of you. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Oh, my goodness. I got to figure out where I want to go from here. Because something just happened to us, and I don't think any of us know it. I didn't even know it. But God is good to us. Let's see. In that word, hope there, confidently expect, it says to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It's a confident expectation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. No, 1 Corinthians 14, I think. If not, we'll change it. Y'all pray for you, Pastor. He's coming. Supposed to be. He left a switch on last night on the box truck. So when I left, he's sitting there with his truck and his jumper cables. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, y'all remember the first of the year when I came and I told y'all that I believed and felt like on the... Because, I mean, you have spiritual senses just like you have natural physical senses. You sense things in the spirit you may not exactly know sometimes. You know that you know that you know where it might not have come, and thus saith the Lord, but you perceive it, in other words, on the inside. So y'all remember when I came and told y'all the first of the year that I felt like in my heart and I believed that God was saying to me that 2023 would be a year that I would come up higher. That 2023 would be a year that you guys personally would come up higher, but then also as a body. That means a whole... The whole thing here would come up higher to another level. Now, I don't know that everybody realized exactly what was happening there, but look here at verse 1. It says, follow after charity, which is translated love, the love of God, and desire spiritual gifts. He says, but rather that you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, you got to remember, chapter 12 talked about the gifts of the Spirit. 13 talks about the love of God. 14 is just a continuation of the same stuff. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. The Amplified Bible says, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose in inspired, there's a big difference there, inspired preaching and teaching speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. I have been praying for years that God would use us, all of us, in more in these gifts of the Spirit. I mean, did the whole teachings on it. Y'all remember that? That has been a desire of my heart. Now, we have good word here. We have some, and it's not because me and Scotty or Monty or whoever brings it. God has blessed us. He's honored us with good, you know, a little weightier word than what a lot of people get. And I know that it's because we value it. All of us, we value the word of God and respect the word. But the Lord began to deal with my heart. He said, what I came and told y'all the beginning of the year was this gift, prophecy. A lot of times people think they get them mixed up. Because, see, when you study prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12, a lot of times it'll have what's called a word of wisdom that works with that. Now, the word of wisdom speaks of future events. The word, it'll have sometimes the word of knowledge working with it. The word of knowledge works with the here and now. But then it can come on prophecy. But just the gift of simple prophecy is this right here. It's not the one found over there. And it says here, it's for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. That's why God had me to speak it. It's about what's coming, but at the same time, every one of us has to be involved in the process or you don't go. Because there's a working with God. Now, I told you all of that for a reason. Now, let's look at Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12. I know maybe this seems like we're taking a sidetrack, but we're not. This is still in line with what we're talking about. God's word is seed. But we have to go this way because there's something we need to see. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That tells me there's a lot of ignorance already, so he don't want me to be that way. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but notice this, the same Spirit. He says, verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, in other words, ways of working them. Notice, though, but the same Lord. He says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of what? The Spirit is given to every man to do what? Profit everybody. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, what? This is a different kind of faith than what we have. He says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That verse 11 in the Amplified says, all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired. See, there's a difference in teaching and in what I do. Anybody that knows something can teach something. Just like there's natural teachers not gifted by God that are teaching school, right? They have learned something and they're able to teach that. But then there's what I do. Because I am called into the fivefold ministry, and it's not because I'm standing here, and I didn't put myself here, but because I'm called into the fivefold ministry, I have a teaching anointing that is in the fivefold that is a gift to you. That gift has to operate off of inspiration, not something that I just learned in a book. Y'all understand the difference? That's exactly what he's talking about with tongues. We know from studying, and we have done study after study of this, that speaking in other tongues, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speaking in other tongues or praying is for every believer. It is a free gift to absolutely everybody that gets born again that will receive him and let tongues flow out of you. But here he's talking about the gift of tongues. This is a tongues like in a setting like this, you're inspired. This is not just because you want to pray in tongues or because you want to speak in tongues. You're inspired in your spirit. Excuse me. You've got an unction. You've got anointing. And you're inspired all of a sudden in a service like this to just burst out in tongues. Do you understand the difference? Because he explains that over here in the latter part of chapter 12. Everybody is not going to have the gift of speaking in tongues where you stand up in a church setting like this and do that. Not everybody's going to have this gift of prophecy. And not everybody is going to have this gift of faith. What this gift of faith, some call it special faith. I think maybe the Amplified translates it this way. Now, let me explain this. And see, can you see now the reason why we're having to go this way? Because we're talking about faith over here. We're talking about the word. We're talking about the ground. We're talking about that stony ground that came in. It sprouted. The word sprouted. It made faith. But now there's different types of faith. There is a natural faith. I want you to raise your hand. If anybody in this room, and maybe everybody, I doubt it, but we'll see. If you consciously thought about and spoke to the pew you're sitting on before you sat down on it and said, don't break, I'm about to sit down. How come? Because you've been walking in this room for years, sitting on that same chair or that same pew, and you don't even think, you expect it to hold you up, right? You expect your car to crank whenever you go out there to crank it until it don't. That is a natural faith. God ain't got nothing to do. That's just natural. Y'all understand that, right? Have y'all noticed even when your light bulb blows, you'll go in the bathroom and still try to turn the light on? Why you do that? Don't you know the light bulb's blowed? Well, yeah, I done tried to turn it on 5 times. That's a natural faith. You expect it to do because you met the requirements, whether sitting down, flipping the switch. That's natural faith. Everybody has that. Now, there is what the Bible, and I don't have a lot of time to go through all these scriptures. Y'all go back and study all this for yourself because I got somewhere I'm trying to go and we've done it every 20 minutes. Help us, Jesus. Now, there is what the Bible talks about, saving faith. Some people call it faith for salvation or whatever. We know that comes by hearing the word, right? Faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of ground, word of God. And we know that the ground determines whether or not you can even hear that. But this is faith that comes from the word. Y'all get that? This is God-given. Now, once you get born, everybody has been given a measure of faith. And it's not that one has been given a whole bunch and one's been given a mustard seed. No, we all start out with kind of like this mustard seed faith, a measure given to us. No, it's God's faith, but it's been placed in us, and we start with it by salvation. But how many knows that kind of faith? The Bible says, let me see if I can find it here right quick and just quote it to y'all maybe. Well, we won't have to turn there. It's in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. Beth, could you put that up quickly so we could read that right quick? It says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, the ground, which is the heart, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it does what? It grows up. There's some people, they've heard the word of salvation, they've been born again, and they think that's all that's supposed to happen to them. And that's sad. He says, it grows up and becometh what? Greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So this is faith that is given to every born-again believer, but it can grow. It's supposed to grow, and it's supposed to develop until it comes to the point to where it is a blessing to everybody that comes in contact, right? It grows up where the birds of the air, they can come and they can nest. In other words, they can find shelter in this kind of faith. This is what we would call saving faith, right? It was given by grace, but we receive it by faith, therefore we lay hold. Now, the other type of faith is what we're talking about, this over here in 1 Corinthians 12. This is, the Bible says, the gift of faith. This is faith, but this is God's faith. Because, see, every one of these, it says, it is the same Holy Spirit that works these. These don't work at my will. I can't inspire myself to give you a message in tongues. You understand that? I can't inspire myself to prophesy to you. You know, I mean, just the simple gift of prophecy. Now, I could speak a word of encouragement to you. You know, we should. But that's not an inspired inspiration. Do y'all understand the difference? This gift of faith is a portion of God's faith that God Himself inspires, but it works exactly the same process. Why? Because it is faith. But you're talking about on a whole different this kind of faith here that he's talking about, the gift of faith, is inspired by God, and you are along for the ride, honey. Oh, and it's fun. Oh, wait. Maybe I can help you understand it this way if you didn't get it like that. Okay, take coffee for an example. This is the Spirit of the Lord gave me this so I could understand it even better. Because don't think just because I'm the teacher, I know everything I'm teaching y'all. This one right here, really, this parable, what I'm talking about, I have really been through it to learn it. I didn't already know it, and I still don't already know it. I'm learning some of this stuff as I go. Because we're supposed to be growing. I'm no different than you guys are. I have to grow. I have to develop. I have to learn just like you do. Now, the example he gave me was coffee. Now, I don't know if coffee grows on a tree or a bush. Maybe some of y'all do. But anyway, we know that it comes in a form. It's on a tree or a bush in what form? A bean. Is it coffee? It's got to be coffee, Sandy. See what I'm talking about? There's three types of faith. It's all coffee. Right? Yes or no? but it's in three different forms. Okay, you got your first coffee, is on a tree or a bush, whatever it is, and it's in the form of a bean. Your next type of coffee is ground. Is it just as much coffee as the bean was? Sure, it's just in a different form. Then you got coffee that you mix this with it, and you go, woo, that's a kick. Is that coffee? That's coffee. But it's in a different form. That's what the Lord showed me about this faith. And sometimes people get them mixed up. They think if they have an experience with the gift of faith, that faith is supposed to be that way every time. And how many knows? That's not going to be so. Why? Because this is the gift of faith that is inspired by God. And this gift of faith operates the same way that every kind of faith does, whether it's a grain of mustard seed or it's the saving faith that's supposed to be growing. But this is in full-blown God, inspired for you to believe something because there's something He wants to do. There's something He wants to give you. There's something He wants to obtain. You understand that? Okay. We all got that pretty good? Okay, because there's a reason for this. So that's coffee in all three forms. This is faith in all three forms. And faith operates the same every time. The word comes, it's planted in the heart, it grows, it develops, it receives, and then time goes by and it lays hold. Can y'all understand that? That is every kind of faith. Except the gift of faith, that process is speeded up. And there is no effort. Y'all remember these? Oh my goodness. Let me get them out so y'all can remember. I call these my Mavericks, remember? Listen to me. People that ain't been here and ain't been listening, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And they have missed out. Makes me look better, don't it? God did good, didn't He? Now, I said these ain't your grandmama's Dollar General glasses. Don't you ever think that I was down in Dollar General glasses. I have Dollar General glasses, and I like them. But these is not Dollar General glasses. Now, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all exactly how this come about. And I did not realize it at the time. I had never experienced this before in my life. I have never heard anybody other than, I think maybe Oral Roberts. I think I heard him one time speaking something down these lines. So I'm going to explain the process to you so you'll know. Like I said, I don't know everything. I have never been used in this gift of faith before until now. And I did not know what was going on. I knew it was different, but I didn't realize what was going on. This actually, I didn't get what I'm telling you right now until Tuesday morning of this week. After seeking the Lord and listening to everything. Okay, y'all know about the movie. I watched the movie, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to make a long story short. For some reason or another, and I know now that it was God. I can't get ahead of myself. All right. Some reason or another, I just start noticing this certain pair of sunglasses on that movie. And I started having a desire. Not in my head. I know the difference. You can desire things or want things in your head, but it's not in your heart. Anyway, these are in my heart. And I want them, and I want them, and I want them, and I want them bad, Sandy. So I'm going to buy me a pair. Till I see what they cost, and then I'm not willing to pay to fulfill that desire that I've got to pay what they costed. God didn't want me to buy them, but I didn't know what's going on at the time. I think this is just me, so I'm going to buy them. I don't want to pay what they cost and all that. But lo and behold, I'm standing out there on my back porch. I'm looking up the sky. I'm talking to God about it because I know something's going on the inside of me, and so I'm like, I'll just believe God for them glasses. Well, but then when it come right down to it, I'm standing out there and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about releasing my faith, believing for these sunglasses, which seems to be the most ridiculous thing in the world to me, you know, for these sunglasses, and I'm right there at that line where I'm fixing to either release my faith for it or I'm fixing to let it go. Forget about it. Well, I'm at that point. And I have this thought, I'm not believing for them sunglasses. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm not going to do it. And all of a sudden, God speaks inside my heart. I don't hear words, but I know it's Him. In here, I hear this on the inside. I need you to believe for these sunglasses because I want to give you a gift. Did y'all hear what he said? I didn't realize this at the time. He said, I need you. I need you. You think God don't need nothing, don't you? That does away with this thinking. God can just come in and do whatever he chooses to. No, he can't. He's illegal in this earth without a body. The devil's illegal in this earth without a body. God uses people. The devil tries to use people. So he tells me, I need you to believe for these sunglasses. He says, because I want to give you a gift. And then he begins to minister to me and brings that scripture up to me that says up there, it talks about how the love of God, once it's perfected, whatever, cast out all fear. Well, he takes me to that scripture. Put it up, please, for us, Beth. Psalm 37, 4 through 5. And I told the Lord, when I heard this, I told the Lord in my heart, all this is going on in my head and in my heart. Me and him is like having this, like I'm talking and you was talking to me conversation, just like this. And I said, well, God, I don't have a scripture or nothing about no sunglasses. You know, this is crazy to me. Not making no sense. So he speaks this verse to me. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? There's a twofold meaning in the scriptures, in this scripture, and a lot of them they are. They apply to you and me more than one way. It wasn't me, Sandy, that was desiring them sunglasses. Y'all remember God hardened the heart of Pharaoh? This word delight means to be soft. Rondé went over that, didn't he? The lotion that Samantha spends, the extra money she spends on all that lotion to make them hands soft. That's what this means. Be soft, be moldable, be pliable. Let me do, mold you, move you, whether you don't even know what's going on. He says, in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires. That desire for them sunglasses was not mine. God is causing me to desire those sunglasses because there's something he wants to do for me and for you. These they're all our Mavericks. Now, y'all not wearing them. I'm going to hold on to them. And he says, he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And what? He shall bring it to pass. Saving faith has to hear the word. It goes through a process, and you better hold on to it, or it ain't coming. Not the gift of faith. The gift of faith, I'm telling you, you can't doubt if you try. Now I'm going to explain to you what happened. Well, let me say this first. Beth, put up Galatians 5:6, please, right quick. Now, I told you after this, after God tells me all this, he ministers that scripture to me about perfected love cast out fear. And he's my father, and he loves me, and he wants to give me a gift. Well, when he began to speak about the love he has for me, oh, man, it was like an energizer. Let me get that in the Amplified right quick. What did I say? Galatians 5:6. All right, he says here, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but what? But faith which what? Worketh by love. Oh, can you see the process he's doing to me? Then here in the Amplified, it says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. When he told me that scripture about how much he loved me and perfecting his love toward me and my father, and wanting, it was an energizer. Y'all remember what I said last week? I got to this point in the process of telling y'all what's going on. It's on like Donkey Kong. That's it. It's like I could see like the Energizer bunny. Y'all ever seen that little commercial for batteries? Oh, this bunny, it just goes and it goes and it goes. That's what happened on the inside of me. And it was like, I told the Lord, I said, okay, God, you want to give me a gift because you love me? Lord, I believe and I receive your gift. And when I said, I receive your gift, I felt it right down in here. Something left me. What left me? Faith. I released it and I felt it When it, y'all remember the story about the woman when she came and she touched Jesus in the crowd and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The Bible says he felt virtue go out of him. When I released my faith, I felt it go out. And I'm telling you right now, to me, that was the end of that. Oh, I come back in the house and I'm telling Scotty, I don't even know what's going on. You don't have to know everything for God to use you. Now find out later so you're not so dumb next time, you know, or whatever. That is this gift of faith. And that whole time, that was about a week and a half, I'll say 2 week maximum process. Remember, I started a couple days before that Sunday and I didn't tell y'all nothing about it. Then I told y'all the next Sunday I was believing for God for something. And then the last Sunday I showed y'all what it was. I had received it Wednesday. During this process, that was not my faith, Sandy. That was his faith in a measure given to me because there's something he wants to do in the earth. In this process, when I told him that and felt like something, and you may not always have these feelings. I'm not saying you have to have these feelings, but I want you to see the difference. God needs us to see the difference. Because if you think your saving faith is going to be like this faith every time, it's not going to happen. There, I couldn't doubt, Sandy. I tried. I let thoughts of doubt run around in my head a little bit just to see what happened. I mean, it was like they'd come to my mind and it was just like ping, ping, ping. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is just great. And I am utterly thrilled at the time. But when this happened, I felt like something, it's like I had this sense of something, someone rising up inside of me. And then I had this sensation of somebody coming on my right side and their leg. It's touching my leg. Their arm, there's somebody on my right side. Why am I telling you this? Because this is the faith of God. This is the gift of faith that he comes involved with, and you're just kind of like along for the ride. Now, I am so thrilled on the inside. The Bible says we believe, therefore we speak. I'm talking about speak is not the word. I wore your pastor out. I mean, until he said, oh my God, I got to hear Brother's sunglasses one more. Now, he tried to be encouraging, and he was and stuff, you know, because he's like, okay, you're saying all this stuff. Let's see it, you know. But see, there's a difference. All three forms is coffee, but every one of them functions differently. They have a different form. All three of these types of faith is faith. They function the same way, but they're all three on a different level. So, lo and behold, I get my Mavericks. I like them cute. I get those Wednesday, and that I'm still having this sense of somebody's like hooked to me on my right side and in me. Well, I tell y'all about it Sunday. I'm released to tell y'all about it. Oh, I'm just thrilled, you know, to tell y'all about it, you know. And y'all, some of y'all are like, just wonder if Beth heard about that, you know, and that's how God did it, you know. Well, you little skeptic, you. Not good. Why? God is doing something. He is honoring us. Why? Because we are honoring him. And he's honoring us with the craziest thing, these. With those. And I still don't even know what else happened. But anyway, I'll tell y'all about it last Sunday. And everything, and you know, some of y'all was excited, and woo, she got what she was believing for. That's not the point. Anybody, listen, don't look at that and think, oh, she must have great faith. No, don't look at me, because that's not for me. I did not do this. Do you understand? This was not my faith. He did every part of this, but I had to be in cooperation with him, but I didn't even know what's going on. I'm just my faith, believe what he says and trying to cooperate and being drug along sometimes. And I'm so excited. I'm thrilled. But I'm telling you, 2 or 3 days before I got these sunglasses in my hand, the anticipation and expectation is on a level I have never experienced in my life. That last 2 or 3 days, I don't want to say it was painful because painful is not the word to describe it. God's not. But this is, if I can't open my eyes and see these glasses in my hand, I am from the inside out, I am about to explode. God, I can't take this no longer, because it is just, I can't explain it. Just that kind of anticipation. I've had anticipation with me believing God for things, but this is just, I mean, it's like it is forcing these glasses to get here. It's the best way I can describe it to you. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to have all these kind of feelings, so don't misunderstand. I'm just telling you the process I had, and I did not even know what was going on. Now, look at, let me get my other glasses back on here. Mark chapter 16. Very familiar verses. Never really even paid any attention to this before. How many knows you don't usually till God puts his finger on it, and then you see it everywhere? Just goes to show you, man, you can be dumb as dirt and just love the Lord and obey. Ooh, he can do miracles. Oh, I don't know why I took my glasses off. I got to read that. Mark chapter 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 14. Now, we know Jesus has already been crucified, and he's appeared to him, and he's given him instructions because he's fixing to leave. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, this is every individual, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these what? Signs. These signs. What is these signs? Why is it signs? Do you understand? If you go, say you're going from here to Florida, there's signs all along that road. They're either confirming to you that you're on the right track, continue on, or they are showing you you are on the wrong track, stop, turn around. That's what those are. They're signs. They distinguish people. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. This is for everybody that's born again. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. This is the key verse. And they went forth. Who's they? The apostles, right? And they went forth and preached everywhere, what? The Lord working with them and what? Confirming the word. What word? The word they was preaching. With what? Signs. My Mavericks are a sign to all of us. Now the gift of faith, he says signs following, amen. Now, the gift of faith, usually it can operate. A lot of times when you see the gifts of healing or the gifts of miracles in operation, a lot of times there will be the gift of faith in operation with that. And that is where you get into those kind of like Benny Hinn or somebody like that, or like Rondé, he operates in the gifts of the Spirit. You know? And sometimes the gift of faith, God will give it to come along with that other gift to perform a wonder. I didn't say a sign. A sign is different. A sign is just something out there for you to see to confirm. Y'all ever getting ready on Sunday morning and you know God's been speaking something in your heart or dealing with you about a scripture, and then while you're brushing your teeth, it comes on the radio and you start spitting toothpaste everywhere? Y'all don't ever do that? I have the radio on every time I'm getting ready. Oh, yeah. I'll be on something, then it comes on the radio. I'm like, woo, God, I know it. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Why? Because it's already in here, and then that's just affirming it. And reaffirming it. Affirm. God sent these sunglasses because the process of faith is exactly the same. And that's what we're talking about in Mark 4 and Matthew 13 and Luke 8. It is how the word comes, sown into the heart. And if the heart is right, it can bring forth fruit 100-fold. I received over 100-fold of what I asked for. Why do I say 100? I didn't ask for this. God throwed it in there. I didn't ask for this. But I tell you what I did ask for. Now, why? Just like I told you last week, you are going to have to. Faith is always a choice. That's where it starts. It's always a choice. You hear the word and you choose whether you're going to believe that and act on it or not. What I'm telling you this morning and what I told you last Sunday morning and the process I'm explaining, you are going to have to make a choice as an individual whether you believe what I'm telling you this morning or I'm just full of hot air. The process of faith is always the same. I believe, I'm just telling you what I believe, that God did it that way, this gift of faith, because it was for all of us. And He wanted to show all of us that what we're doing, we're on the right track. We're on the right path with this Mark 4 and Matthew 13, this parable. We are on the right path. He demonstrated that process in these in a week and a half to 2 weeks. Now, why did it take that long? I don't know. Beth might not have been the first one he spoke to. Any of y'all hear anything about my sunglasses? Y'all sure? Why would I say? Because in the process, when you're dealing with other people, they've got to do it. They've got to obey. Just like when Scotty went on the street, that guy pulls up there crying, tells him, "What are you doing out here?" He says, "Well, I'm going to preach the gospel on the street." He said, "God told me to do that." I wonder how many God told before that man, and when he didn't obey it, then he told Scotty, and he didn't have to obey it. God would have had to keep going down the line till he finally got somebody that would obey him. But these are just a sign. That's all they are, of the process of faith, how it operates, and that we are on the right track with the preaching and teaching that we're doing. See, I told you we may be on this all year. I'm not even going to get back to those verses this morning. But see, it may seem like a side note to you, but it's not, because you got to understand that there's three different types of faith. Because they're all faith, but the process and stuff is different. Saving faith has to be planted, watered, grown, developed. You use it on purpose. You operate on purpose. Just like the love of God or any other fruit of the Spirit or anything. But then that gift of faith, it's almost effortlessly to you. It just, you better go along with whatever He's saying. And so I want to encourage you this morning to believe what I'm telling you. And if you don't, that's no sweat off of me. I believe it, and I don't care if you believe it or not. But I feel for you, because if you don't, well, you're going to miss out. And I asked the Lord, I said, "God, why sunglasses? Why would you do it with sunglasses?" You know why He would do it with something so ridiculous as sunglasses? Because the thing is not the point. It could have been a mega building. It could have been a brand new Challenger. Well, you like that one, do you? It could have been anything. But how many knows, the Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of this world to what? Confound or confuse the wise. If He can do that and get sunglasses, can't you get your needs met? It's the same process. Of course you can. And don't He want your needs met? Of course He does. He's your Father. The Bible says that He takes pleasure in what? The prosperity. That's not just financial. Your husband and wife relationship can be in such a state that you're on the brink of divorce. You can't stand each other. But how many knows you can get the Word in there and believe the Word, put the Word into it, and begins to flourish a marriage or a relationship with your kid. It doesn't matter what it is, right? But I believe God wanted us to understand the process, and He wants us to know, I did that, not Teresa's faith or anything like that. Teresa was just along for the ride. I did it to show you. Don't stop, because let me tell you something. All of y'all that are here this morning are the same ones that are usually here on Sunday morning for Sunday school. You are the ones. Those that are laying in bed this morning, they're not the ones. And it's not by God's choice. God is the same for everybody. He has no, He's no respecter of persons. He does the same for everybody. But you got to want it. You got to seek it. You got to want Him. You got to want to know His will. And you guys do. And God has just so honored us that He would give us a ridiculous sign to encourage our faith in Him. And encourage us and help us to believe. See, these glasses are on the point of believing. God will take a thing The Bible talks about there's treasure hidden in a field, right? Y'all getting the treasure this morning. I'm the field. But when I come down from here, every one of y'all, if you're going to get something out of me, you got to go beyond this field. Because sometimes this field don't say it the way you want it. Y'all not saying nothing. Little Ron Carpenter coming out there, I guess. Y'all not saying nothing. See, this is the field, but God takes a treasure and he'll on purpose put it in a package you don't like. Y'all not saying nothing. God, surely he wouldn't. If I don't want spinach, he won't make me eat spinach. No, he won't. But he'll have a dessert on the inside of that spinach, but you got to eat the spinach to get to the dessert. Why? He's like that. God, it's almost like God likes to play hide and seek. He'll take a gift, he'll take something special, and he'll hide it. He'll hide it in sunglasses. Ridiculous, nonsensical things people don't want, don't think is him, to get you to search it out. You know why? Because you ain't like everybody else. There's others. Loretta asked me about the sunglasses because you went up there and told. She didn't tell her the sunglasses because you didn't know. So I get up there to get my hair done. She starts asking me about my gift. Did I get my gift? So I told her, you know, in a little bit, you know, not under the anointing because I'm not supposed to be sharing. She can't get this. Why? She's not been here. You can get it because you choose to give it because God has given it. Do you understand? We're getting things that some people, they never get. They live and they die and never get these kinds of things. These things are to the seekers. These are those that will seek him out, no matter how ridiculous that it seems, to see, to find, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? So I want to encourage you this morning that God has so honored us. He says if we will honor him, how do you honor him? You respect him. You love him. You honor his word. You value it. And he says, if you'll value me, oh, I'll value you. How does he value us? How does he honor us? Well, number one, with his presence. There is nobody I would rather be with than him. Other ways he honors us. Revelation. Causing you to see things that you can't make yourself see. Giving you nuggets of revelation knowledge here and there that everybody else don't get. He told Scotty when we was young Christians, he said, people desire to see what you see and hear what you hear. Is that not scripture? He says, but everybody don't see it. And everybody don't hear it. Even those that are hooked with this church that are not in attendance in Sunday school, because this is the main place that's been coming, they don't see what you see this morning. Some of them, they never even saw their Mavericks. Never even saw them. Don't have a clue. Does that mean they don't love God? No, I'm not saying that. Does that mean God don't love them? I'm not saying that either. And I've got to stop because our time is done up. And I'm really wanting to get to this stony ground and get that one done because I'm telling you, this ground's jacked up. They have got major, major problems going on in this stony ground. And it ain't just one. It's about three or four different ones. But we had to go that way so we would have something else when we get back to that. Does anybody have anything they would like to say or share?